Welcome back to Kiara Nation on Anchor. Today we have Anaya Sophia. She's a mystic, an author, a seer, and she has quite a tale to tell. Stay tuned.
Tonight we have a very special guest, and she will be talking to and telling us about what needs to be improved, as well as what exists in the world of sexuality.
Yeah, I'm so glad to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. I love the way you answer your emails.
Really? I love to honor people. I think it's beautiful. I love, it's love.
It feels good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start the show.
Okay.
Hi. Well, welcome back to Kiara Nation. Kiara Nation loves her guests. And today's special guest, by the way, Tina from Tina Heals is co-hosting with me again. And we have the most excellent, most beautiful and wise Anaya Sophia, ¿verdad? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, I kept going, Anaya. But I got it, and I'm happy. And I'm happy to have you here. I'm happy to have Tina on the show again as well. Let's proceed. Yes. Tell us a little about yourself, Anaya, please.
Well, I think I say something like I'm a storyteller, uh-huh. I'm an author, I'm a mystic. Uh-huh. I'm part fairy. I'm very playful. I'm very spontaneous. I like to experience. I like to explore. That's me. And I live in the French Pyrenees. I'm in a very different part of the world.
Okay, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it's a very special land. This land was once its own land, known as Occitania. It wasn't part of France. It was very independent. And it was known for being, because it still is, very heretical. So a lot of free thinkers down here.
Yeah.
And it's very famous for two really terrible crusades in the medieval times. Mm. When the Church of Rome was trying to extinguish a group of people called the Cathars, who could well have been the spiritual descendants of Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. But what we do know is there was a lot of healing going on down here.
Oh,
there was a lot of joy going on down here. There was a lot of freedom going on down here.
Beautiful.
And there's a prophecy that says in 700 years we shall return, and that expires next year.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, so 1321, a great prophecy was spoken, and of course 2021 is 700 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're gearing up for some change of events.
You know, it's interesting. That's beautiful because it's time we come out of the darkness. I was just talking to my mom because we have similarities in with the whole independent, and we were holistic, and we were in holistic sciences and so forth, and we were in the Miskito Nation. Yeah, and then Rome gave away some of our land to all the other new five republics, because before those five republics even existed, it was the Miskito Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Great Britain was our protectorate. And then when the Panama came to fruition and the United States became a country, then we were no longer of use. So they created all kinds of things to dispose us from our natural resources. Mm-hmm. And what I was telling my mom was that yeah, people claim that we're an advanced society, and the only advancements, if they're advancements, that we've made is technological, maybe scientific, but even the scientific world is behind had they not wiped out and listened to the indigenous people, and that is all indigenous people of our lands. They knew stuff, and we would have been far more advanced.
Yes.
You know?
True.
Yeah. I agree fully.
Yeah, so that's why I'm so happy to talk to you, because I read your Return to the Sacred Prostitute a long time ago, and it's funny because I was like, wow, but I didn't have the show. So, and I didn't even have the idea of the show. Someone else came with this show idea to me, my friend. And so when I'm looking at it now and I'm reading it and I'm like, wait a minute, is that the same person? And wow, you're the same person. And it was Tina who sent me an email. She said, look. And I was like, yeah, I want her on. So I wanted to, you wrote that article. And what was most interesting to me was the part about the virgins. Can you tell us more about the whole origin, the original meaning of the virgin?
Yeah. Well, all of this is obviously coming from my own imagination. None of it can be proven, but it's what I totally carry in my heart as a very powerful, palpable memory. So with the virgin, what I understand, what I remember is that these women, these temple priestesses, these sexual priestesses, were so completely and utterly in love with the divine, with the source, with the origins, that their devotion was self-sustaining, it was complete, and when they were with a man, woman, or young person, or dying person, or pregnant person, they would just come as a representative of the source. There's no leaking, there's no pulling, there's no manipulation, there's just abundance. And when these ladies would have a little off day, because after all, we are just human. So when perhaps the woman's energy started to like lower, and maybe she went into some kind of melancholic or nostalgic or lostness, and this is the bit I love, a female priestess would notice what's happened to her sister and delight her to come back to her full generous nature.
wonderful.
And what I love about it is that it felt so clean, so vertical, but so powerful, mm-hmm. so transformative, so like a fiery phoenix. Mm-hmm. So that's my memory.
Okay, well, your memory, as far as I'm concerned, has a lot of validity to it, because as I was explaining to Tina when I first met her, is that when I first got into the adult industry and the sex industry, I was pulling in different areas and just tasting and smelling, because I had a whole idea. I had another energy of what true sexuality is, and it's a ritual, and it's the whole process. It's not just here, I'm going to do it, but I had to go taste a little bit of everything, almost to bring my memory back to what I know it is. You know, it's like a knowing, yes. Something you know, something you cannot prove or whatever, but there's a knowing inside of you. And it's amazing because, you know, by going through that 10 years later, 11 or 12 years later, I was able to master, and I'm still mastering, I'm still learning more, but I was able to harness that energy and master it, and be able to place it and move it and bring it to the people that I do see. So I completely agree with you.
Oh, I remember when I started to share these memories with my friends who know me really, really well. And obviously I was quite keen to sort of step into that role of temple priestess. Mm-hmm. But, you know, confession time, I'm not really a very potent sexual woman. My thing is kind of like joy and innocence. So there's no point me parading around, really bringing through that delicious Shakti energy. I couldn't pull it off. So I was saying to my nearest and dearest, wow, I can't wait to step into this. And they were saying, Anaya, but it's not you. Your role is the center. Your role is like the high priestess. And I said, are you saying I'm a madam? And they all just kind of went, yeah. Because that was the vision I had. I had a vision that there was an older woman sat, literally sat in the center of the temple in a very profound, meditative, prayerful, you know, trance-like state. And sort of like inwardly managing and moving everything. And all around her was the activity. Mm-hmm. And I realize now, yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's wonderful. Tina had, she just did a thing on Virgo, and she was talking about the virgins. Tell us a little bit about that, Tina.
I want to straight talk to Anaya about my connection to Mary Magdalene. So I have been born in a Hindu Brahmin family in India, in a Bengali family. So I honestly did not look at Christianity as a way to help my life. But I remember it was possibly in my teens that I came across the name of Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. And Mary Magdalene Day is 22nd of July, her birthday. So I am born on 23rd of July. So if you take the different time difference, I think it comes about to the same point. So that interested me, and also the concept of Mary Magdalene as a tantric Bhairavi to Jesus, and not just as a tantric Bhairavi, but as an initiator great tantric alchemy and stuff like that. Because even if you look at sadhaks like Paramhamsa Ramakrishna, when he learned tantra, he had to go to a Bhairavi to get initiated. So I sort of look at Mary Magdalene as one such powerful lady and a yogini, if I may say so, you know. Ooh. And like Babaji's sister Mataji. So I have a very profound connection with Mary Magdalene, and I have been channeling her in my blogs and on my videos, and I've just been doing a lot of meditation and lucid dreaming sessions. Yes. So I just wanted to say that, you know, talking to you has been really nice, because suddenly I had, I think, found you about a decade ago or so. You did not have a Facebook or anything, and I was very interested because of your Magdalene connection. Mm. And then, out of the blue, YouTube just suggested your video that you shot in your home where you just moved. I think you did that with another girl, and I was like, you know, not going to watch it. And I just clicked on it and I watched the whole video. And it was so profound that you're doing this work, and that your connection to Mary Magdalene, that to me is profound. So you are a yogini of the Mary Magdalene sect. Mm-hmm. And that to me is a very big thing, because I am also a tantrika. I come from a family of Kali worshippers, and, you know, like, my family was brought down by the Pala kings to be the first Brahmins to pray to the goddess Kali. Wow. So I have a very close connection to Tantra and Kriya Yoga. So Mary Magdalene to me is one such yogini who deserves to be spoken about more, who deserves to be, you know, just spoken about more.
Beautiful, Tina. Yeah.
So that was how I found you.
I love your imagery because your headband looks like a little gold halo. Yeah, you look really look amazing.
Okay,
so that was the best part about you, and I really wish you all the best in spreading the name of Mary Magdalene and being able to. Interestingly, Kiara and me did a show with Julie Bindel on the birthday of Mary Magdalene. Do you remember that I even mentioned that today is the birthday of Mary Magdalene?
I left it on the I didn't unedit that. Yeah, so I wanted to because that was the next thing I was going to get to, Mary Magdalene. So I just wanted to get your piece. There's a reason for my questioning.
So
I wanted you to go just to give us a little on the Virgo when you were talking about the moon in Virgo, right?
So the archetype of the Virgin is to me a wise woman who has awakened her kundalini shakti, and the kundalini is the serpent, is the key, you know, the prana that lies coiled at the navel. So to me, the Virgin is someone who could awaken this. In Tantra, you do this, you know, when the Bhairav and the Bhairavi get together in a process called Maituna, which is sexual union, the kundalini awakens. So the Virgin are these high priestesses who work with the goddess energy, and they surrender to the goddess energy. And these virgins have existed since time immemorial in cultures like Sumer and cultures like that. Babylon, in India, all over the world, and I'm sure in indigenous shamanic cultures, you have women like this who understand the secret of the kundalini and the sacral chakra, which lies just under your navel, just above your vagina. That is the place where alchemy occurs. That is your creative energy. So with this energy, you can create anything. How you said you learn to balance the energy. And when you balance that energy, the show came, the idea came as to how sacred this work could be, right? So that is what to me is a virgin, a tantrika who understands the alchemy of the kundalini, who literally... when she sleeps with men, when she engages in the process, she heals him every single time, you know.
Like Marvin Gaye said.
And they do not belong to any women, any men. That is the key thing.
Well, they belong to themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not a choice through hatred. It is not because someone doesn't want a child or someone doesn't want a family or so forth, because a child can still be included and still be raised at a strong man or woman by the female, because it is, wait a minute, it is the way of nature. And I'm not damning the whole family structure or anything. I'm just saying that we've come away from nature where we have women believing that if they don't have a man in their lives, they can't raise children and they can't raise strong children because there's no male figure. And I think that's an idea patriarchy put into our society, because if you look at nature, if you see nature, nature is basically the mother goes out, she hunts, she does everything, she rears. The male of the animals basically just come and do their thing and get on to the next.
This is what she mentioned, as she mentioned that the joyousness of the whole process, the being in love with the whole process of creation to such a degree that you do not need a person to interface with any longer to feel that ecstasy. So when Mira Bai was in love with Krishna and she wrote all those beautiful poems to Krishna. Krishna was an ideal. It was the whole universe, you know, the divine masculine in all his glory. So these priestesses, these virgins were in ecstatic state. Does that mean that they were not angry or upset? They were. But they could come back to balance again, you know, because they were doing sadhana. They were doing spiritual practices.
They weren't holding grudges.
No.
They processed. Yeah, they processed. And it's true. And although we may not be able to prove or you prove your memory and so forth, I see it in my own workings, in how I work and so forth. I see it, and then I speculate, and I see it in other workers. And I basically created this show for a lot of things, because there's no talk, real talk, about just sexuality as it is a beautiful thing. And I'd like to help for this show to help normalize it, or for people to open up their minds and their hearts to it, because the more we're against our own sexual nature, the more we are against ourselves, because self-loathing comes from not understanding yourself and not understanding that why they call it the core or the coil, like she said. It's because all our senses, all our five senses are that. And if we don't understand our senses, we're going to have a really big problem, because women even have an issue with breastfeeding because they don't understand what they're feeling, because we're so shunned away from sexuality, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, we've been talking. I invited you.
It's okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Please. Well,
another part of the memory, as glorious as it is, comes the severity of it as well. My understanding is that these temples, this way of life, this natural, gorgeous, easy way of life, was taken away from us almost overnight in a really severe and ruthless, cold way. Sometimes people imagine that it was, you know, the priestesses that were shocked and harmed the most. But my heart goes out to those men as well, because the men only knew that the way to find that God presence was in the arms of a priestess. That was their prayer, that was their forgiveness, that was their salvation. And so when that became forbidden and heretical, these men are just lost, you know, coming back from the battle, or just, you know, man's life is so brutal and so, so different to ours. And so suddenly they've lost their church, you know, the body being the church.
Right.
So it was a very brutal time, a very big time of lostness and confusion. And then the church comes, and then the one God and the patriarchal God, and then sexuality is now demonized. So yes, that's a very confusing message.
Sin, the original sin, and the whole virgin whore dichotomy. I think that Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary, the breakup of the whole, the archetype, the fragmentation, I think that's what did it.
Yeah, I just did a show with Katrina Sisowa.
Oh, yeah.
She's a researcher, and she was telling me about the, you know, whore. They even demonized the word whore because it was H-O-R, and it was beloved one. It had, and it went from beloved ones to most hated. The most hated ones, right?
Yeah,
go ahead. Continue, please.
Well, And, you know, and then century upon century upon century, that kind of schism gets deeper and wider. You have spirituality in one hand and sexuality in the other.
Yeah.
And the two just can't seem to find peace. And then you've got a really, really bizarre...
And the funny part is that the creative energy is the sexual energy.
Yeah.
Even in ancient tantric texts, it is the sexual energy is the creative energy.
Yes.
Because, you know, that if you do not know how to transmute it, if you do not know, it's going to, you know, it can result in addiction. But if you know...
Oops. Something happened there. Okay, please continue. She'll get back on in a minute.
Well, I mean, to come full circle, if, you know, like your show, Kiara, you're bringing it full circle.
Mm-hmm.
You're showing in who you are. I mean, to look at you, to hear you, I've been looking at your website and seeing you doing your thing, and I'm like, wow, you are embodying this complete circle.
Oh,
that sexuality in all of its rawness, all of its depth, all of its wild and unknown and unpredictable expression can be fully in the realm of healing and blessing and transforming and mutating even. That it is this wild creative force that is good. It heals, it blesses, it comforts, it opens, it initiates. Boom!
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And how do you feel about... I'm going to have another show on this on Friday, but I really want to get it from you, and then I want to get it from Tina, because a lot of people like have invited me. Like, remember when Ning was really big, N-I-N-G, the .com?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So a lot of people would invite me to their thing, and I'm just like, Miss Open. And they're like, we don't want you. We're not here. We're not here for prostitution. I'm like, dude, you asked me what I did. I didn't say I did that. I didn't even call it that. Okay. So what are you, why are you inviting me? I put it, you know, you guys should have read my bio. I put in there everything, you know, that I'm doing. And this one thing that said, yes, we're open, we're a spiritual, Ning spiritual something, and come and welcome. So I'm like there and everything. And they're like, get your ass out of here. Sex is, you know, we don't want nothing to do with sex. And how do you respond to people that said that sexuality is not a spiritual thing?
Oh my God, that's just weird,
right? But a lot of people believe that, like 80%. I'm saying 80%
of sexuality is a sin. This is what the Abrahamic religions have taught them, right?
Okay, yeah, but I wanted Anaya to answer first.
What's the question?
Okay, so the question is, where do you stand with people who are like about 80% of our global planet, who feel that sexuality is not spiritual?
To me, that is an absolute contradiction and is completely not true. Sexuality, to me, sexuality is the great healing current. It is the presence of healing. It is the bed of healing. It can be channeled to heal profoundly, quick, sincerely, and with great depth and with great honor and respect. It comes in every possible shade and expression and an embodiment. There will be some who are very graceful in their application and expression. And there'll be some who are just full of that shakti. And I understand that these little beings are actually born. And so you will notice that your little 2-year-old, your little 3-year-old is like, oh, because they are born to be a tantrika.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be very graceful and sublime and very, very refined, or it might just be in the body. And sexuality is just oozing out of that person. And it must not be. It must not be suppressed. It must be encouraged. You notice, oh my God, my little 3-year-old girl or boy is showing signs of being a master in some way. And the very best thing you can do is to guide that one to the right elders, the right teachers, who will bring that gift to the surface. Because yeah. We all need a tantrika in our community. We yeah. all need one that's alive and kicking and available. And yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I thank you for that. And I hope that our audience is listening. It's so important, because what happens is with this patriarchy and the whole shaming is we shame that child and we destroy that child inwardly, and then that child goes out seeking itself because it has lost what it came into the earth with.
Yes. Yeah, I think this is the work of our age. You know, what yes. you ladies are up to, what I'm up to, this is the work of our age. Is yes. to bring this back into the public arena and just, you know, just be steady, be committed, be disciplined, just bring it and bring it. And it doesn't matter what anyone says, and it doesn't matter what they say about us. We just bring it, because exactly. what else are we going to do?
Exactly. That's how I felt when, sadly, when the CPS, they're telling me just sign these papers and you know, say that, you know, that this, that you're, you know, basically that the sex industry, that I'm in the wrong place, and, you know, like, speak badly, and I just, it was weird, because I just really felt like I would lose myself if I were to even sell my soul like that, just because someone was trying to make me jump through hoops. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of, because of the oppression and the suppression of my own true self, I had to go find her. And so I had to go through a whole bunch of things. But I'm glad I did, because I can recognize myself in others through, because even if I tasted it just for a little bit, I can see it and I can heal it, you know? Go ahead, Tina.
What do you want me to talk about?
No, about how do you feel with the whole sex is not spiritual.
Okay, so like I said, that it's this understanding that sex is something dirty. As long as two people are adults and they're mature and they realize what they're doing, it is, it has the potential to be the most healing act ever. So, I mean, how can you as a society believe that the woman is made for sin. I agree the woman's body is made for pleasure, way more than the man's body. But at the same time, how can you condemn an entire gender on a story that is as absurd as original sin? What about Lilith? Lilith was Adam's first wife, so Lilith was refused to have missionary sex with him, so she was asked to leave. So, and then she became the demoness that eats children. So do you see how it's playing out? It's making people toxic. It's making men think that sex is toxic. Women are toxic because women will lure them into something unholy. Do you see where this is going? Because if you're taught that Eve lured Adam out of the Garden of Eden and brought him into this manifested reality, which is full of duality, I mean, what do you teach then? The woman is the key to all things lewd and lascivious, right? So she's the key to, she's the bringer of all things bad, like Pandora's box. Okay, like the story of Medusa being raped. I mean, if you look at a lot of the Western myths, as well as a lot of the Islamic myths, as well as some of the Vedic myths, because the Vedic culture was patriarchal, but the Tantric culture is not. The Tantric culture is matriarchal. We believe that Shakti is everything. That's why Kali stands atop Shiva, because Shakti is the active principle. Shiva is the passive principle. Yet it is the amalgamation of both forces that manifest this reality of duality. That's why electrons and protons, you know, duality, male, female, night, day, waking, sleeping. This is a realm of duality. So we have to embrace every experience that comes to us in all fullness. And if sexual procreation, without which, you know, we are scared of the menstrual blood. I mean, how ridiculous are we? Without the menstrual blood, there is no procreation. And let's face it, we are still not in the age where we can mentally procreate, can we? We can't, right? We need women and their ovarian cycles and their menstrual cycles, right? Yet that woman in Nepal will be kept outside her house and not, and you know, not allowed to come back home. Not allowed to enter the kitchen because she's bleeding. Mm-hmm. If this is not ridiculous, then what is? How can we as a culture worship the goddess and yet commit female feticide? Tell me. Mm-hmm. So again, we can't judge. We can only love the duality and try to resurrect from it. Mm-hmm. At a point, sexual procreation will not be needed. It is needed in this reality. At a point, we'll be light bodies. But we are not that stage right now, are we? In the evolution of our physical bodies as well as our souls. So I think that every experience and something as important as sexuality, which brings forth progeny, should not be vilified, if anything. It's misunderstood because of the myths and legends surrounding it. Because of the, even I would say, the mystery and the allure attached to it by media. It's something we are scared of. It's something we are afraid to engage with. Because do we look our best? Or do we have that nails are not done, or hair is not done, or body is not perfect? You've got so many things to think about. So when is the act sacred? You know, it's not anymore. Okay. It's I think, power okay. play.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you, Naya. I didn't hear any mention, or I didn't not hear read any mention about genders and the different genders that we have in our society, in our world, that have been with us from the beginning of time. I want to know how you feel about those issues.
Well, it seems gender identity is really up for reevaluation at the moment. There's clearly something profound and powerful going on in the younger generation where, well, I mean, you've all seen and heard and maybe even have friends and children adopting this new lifestyle of, you know, one day being identified as a girl, and then the next day being identified as a boy, and then the next day being identified as neither and both. So I'm looking very closely at this younger generation and their sexual fluidity. And I'm asking a lot of questions. And what I'm noticing about this younger generation is that penetrative sex is not the big deal that it may have been to my generation. They're looking to explore many other ways of connecting. And another fascinating statistic I got the other week was, I think something like 83% of young people in the United States is choosing masturbation over penetrative sex. So if they have a choice, they're going to choose masturbation.
Yeah, wow. Nobody knows how to please you better than yourself. You can't hit or miss. You know, you can only hit.
Yeah, no, I get that. But to me, that made a little ping in my heart. You know, a little ouch came up with that statistic. Because obviously I work with a lot of men and women who are very unhappy with the sexual act. It's very dull. It's very boring. It's not going anywhere. And yet we all know it can go somewhere profound. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I got that statistic, it kind of like drove home just how miserable we are.
Yes.
There's a dullness in that old, boring sexual act.
Right. And yeah, and it's, yeah, go ahead.
Because it's like there's a glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. We can see, we can feel, we can smell, we can taste mm-hmm. what's beyond that glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. And many times, mm-hmm. especially in long-term relationship, it's very difficult to reach beyond that place. Mm-hmm. So maybe you too could say mm-hmm. something about this.
Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, with knowing yourself, with knowing where you like to be touched, knowing how you like to be pleased, you can also notice it in other people. Because sometimes I do get some questions about that. And when you're with a person and you see them and you see them touch themselves in certain places, that's also a good giveaway as to where you should be touching them too, because that's where, you know, like they're like showing you a map without actually talking to you because it's so taboo. So I'm thinking if you want to excite and make it less boring and so forth, start with yourself. Start feeling yourself out, and once you're comfortable in that comfort with yourself, then when you are with someone else, you be able to recognize what they're doing and where their pleasure is, and you won't even need to speak, now would you? Because you're so comfortable. When we're, and this is from experience, when you're uncomfortable with your sexuality and so forth, or you, all these things are running through your mind and so forth, to where you're not there, you're not present in your in that moment, because like Tina said, your hair, your face, does he think I'm fat, does my butt, is it sagging, you know what I'm saying? And so if you're not comfortable embracing yourself as you are and so forth, you're not going to get the full enjoyment mm-hmm. of this other person, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm. Tina?
So to me, I think that the fact that you said that people want to please themselves, yes, in a sense, we are moving towards an age where there is more alienation and less human-to-human connection. Because mm-hmm. when we I actually watched this program on Japanese men dating digital beings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they are, so we're coming to a culture where a man is actually scared of a woman.
Yes.
Of dating, of being out. So, because I do work with astrology and psychic work, so, you know, I can understand what a man or a woman wants. I mean, I just need their birth time. I don't even need that. I can just sense from the energetic signature what they need, what they want. And I think I also tell them the same thing, that it has to be yourself that knows your body and respects yourself. Mm-hmm. And because I work with Tantra, I have many women who are sex workers who've contacted me. Many women from the West who work and who just want to understand the life that they are, you know, the choices, the happiness, the sadness, the tears, all of it. So I tell them one thing. I say, bring a bit of sacredness to everyday life. Because even when you're with someone, if you make a mental affirmation and say, may this man benefit, may this man get what he needs to from me.
Mm.
You know, may he get what I have to give. May he be enriched, may he go safe, may he go blessed. Just that affirmation will change her whole energy signature. Mm-hmm. It's not a situation of exploitation then or a meeting where, okay, you know, it's all for the money. The money is necessary energy exchange, which, you know, even if you go to meet a tantrika, you take some tribute to her. Mm-hmm. You know, you either take alcohol, you take money, you take something. So the money, take it as a form of tribute, but be present in the moment and what you do. It's something sacred, it's something beautiful. And that's when the magic begins. Mm-hmm. So a small affirmation, even if you do sex work, can change your whole vibration, can change the whole energy of your sacral chakra. So when you're working with a client, you give them what you need just because you mentally said that. You prepared yourself with that. So I like to, you know, tell girls these few things and, you know, just how to better connect with someone, maybe eye gazing, maybe just, you know, being close in a sort of an intimate situation, because most men don't even want sex. Mm-hmm. A lot of them just want intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's that intimacy, that's why so many kids chose to please themselves, because they're scared of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what society has taken from us, the fear of meeting you. Oh my God, I'm so scared to meet you. How will I even open up to you? How will I even get intimate with you?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Remember when we spoke to Julie Vindell and she was talking about the client and the men, and you can't put it all on them because it's a societal problem. Intimacy, touch. Men can't even look at women as men because they're going to get sued. I mean, I understand about catcalling and all this other stuff, but now we've gotten to the point that you can't say absolutely anything sexual. I mean, look at Facebook. They sent me a thing saying I can't boost my channel, or I can't boost my my post because I'm showing cleavage. So it's that type of mindset that goes so much against the most natural thing, and it is the most natural thing, and the number one unspoken language on the planet is sexuality. I mean, it's a thing that everything does, and I will continue to say the same thing till it burns in someone's head. Everything around us is a form of sexuality, because without connection we have nothing. Without intricate things going into each other, it's a form of fornication. Everything around us, everything we create is a sexual act of sorts.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm.
So it's bringing back intimacy. That needs to be cultured. That needs to be developed.
And admiration. And admiration, I mean, if all you're doing is admiring, and somebody's going to put you know, you through hell talking about you're this, you're that, you're going to feel uncomfortable because you're going to be walking down the street and some people like myself dress provocatively. Well, don't dress like that if you don't want a person to look at you. You know what I'm saying? Why would you dress like that? You know you're going into the public. Don't do that. Basically.
So I do. I dress provocatively, but I would not want anybody to approach me. That's there, though. I think a woman should not be approached just because of the way she's dressed. I could be lesbian.
Yeah, I understand that, but if someone's going to admire it, it's just like you walk down the street and you go by an art museum, you're going to see that art piece there. It's an art piece, and you're going to admire it.
Admiring is something, but not a station.
That's what I'm saying. Not catcalling and all the other stuff that goes behind that because people don't understand. See, but the catcalling in itself, if you look at it, the catcalling in itself is a misunderstood. It's a misunderstood reaction because sex is so vilified because all of a sudden there's no respect for it. So you're going to sit up and what's happening? Your penis is talking. That's all.
That is
penis language. I'm serious. The penis has its own language and you'll hear it come out the man's mouth. Like,
I want to be attracted to the man who catcalls me. That's rather important, though. I don't want to be catcalled by someone I don't like.
Exactly. Well, yeah, but again, I don't agree with catcalling.
But admiration,
you can't fault somebody for admiring you if you're out in public dressed a certain way to provoke. And you're not, even if it's only to provoke that one person, as you walk down the street in a common place, in a world full of people, you're going to provoke someone else because, you know, you're admirable. And if we can teach people how to, mainly men, how to admire, not look at a person like a piece of meat, not catcall, but to admire, it'd be wonderful. There's so much we've lost and that we need to teach, and this is why we're here, you know?
This is one of my projects that I got coming up. It's called The School of Love.
Okay.
I bet Tina knows, but there's a beautiful movie, The Kama Sutra. And there's so many versions.
Rekha is my absolute favorite.
Yes. I just saw that lady, you know, educating those young girls, and I was like, oh, I want that job.
Right.
I feel ready for it now. I've come through the menopause. I went into it at a very early age, like my mother. I'm 50 now, and it's over. Everything's settled down, but my sexuality has profoundly changed. Basically, I've become bomb-proof. I think I am a trustable sexual being now because everything's kind of dropped. My hormones aren't giving me the drives.
So
I'm like, oh, now I'm ready for the school of love.
Right.
I would love nothing more than to educate young girls and boys. And like you were saying, Kiara, to admire.
Mm-hmm.
And for a young girl to own and to show if she wants to show, mm-hmm. and to rein it in and to push it out and to rein it in again, just starting off at that young age, that delicate play, you know, the dance.
Mm-hmm. That was a beautiful part in that movie too.
The best movie ever.
I watched it so many times. It was so wonderful. The love story was good too.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole love story was good too. It would have been great. Did they ever do a sequel? Because it would have been great to see if she went on to. I think she would have went on to priestesshood. They crushed him. You know.
That last scene when her beloved has been, he dies, doesn't he? He dies in the desert, and she is heartbroken.
Who died in the desert?
Her beloved.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't get crushed? You didn't get crushed by the elephant?
Yeah, he did.
Maybe. Something. Okay.
All right.
Basically, the love of her life absolutely died. And you know her heart is broken. It has been stampeded on.
I know.
But because she's a tantrika, she just lifts her sari and walks off barefoot into the next stage.
Okay, I didn't get it. I didn't get that. Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I got
that. You know she's brokenhearted.
Yes.
You know that. But she is a tantrika. She has to just simply walk into the next chapter of life.
Yes.
And should someone cross
the duality.
Yeah. She will love that man to the end of her days. Profoundly and completely. But she's a tantrika. And if someone crosses her path, she must serve that person if she chooses to.
Exactly. Can you tell us more about your projects and so forth, and then give us some idea of how we can get in contact, or the audience can get in contact? And I saw a lot of stuff on your site, and maybe you can tell us a little bit.
Well, I'm in the process of buying a new house.
Bravo. Congratulations.
During lockdown, oh my god, very difficult. Basically, you can find me at nayasophia.com, but I do feel that next year that little school of love is going to be available. My husband and I, we both work with men and women, so I do women's work, he does men's work, we come together. But the missing piece is those young people, and I want to bring them into a very natural environment. And this is so interesting because, you know, the age we're in now, we're getting to see some really crazy stuff with the pedophilia, with what's going on in Hollywood. So it's like these two things are rising. This desire to be daring enough to open up that school of love and to be with young people in a way that is a little bit of a thin line, a very, very thin line. And also at the same time, expose after the other of the distorted path that has been happening with young children.
Exactly.
So I'm having to breathe and pray a lot through the uncomfortable feelings I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. But I must do it. It's a soul thing. And, you know, showing them how to move in their body, how to do a little dance, how to switch it on just a little bit and pull it back again. And it's innocent. It's playful.
Oh, okay.
But it's obviously it's quite controversial at the moment.
It is. That's why I wanted you to explain it a little better. I understand. Go ahead, and then I'll finish.
To me, Kama Sutra was a piece of art. It was beauty. It was elegance. It was grace. It was all the charm and deliciousness of India. Girls at the moment, 10-year-old, you know, UK or US, they're wearing little hot pants, they're wearing boob tubes, they're doing their booty thing. That's not what I would like to bring. Mm-hmm. I would like to bring that, what I saw in the Kama Sutra, because it was like an art form. It was a talent. It was a gift. It's not playing. You're not becoming a bit of meat for the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to feed that monster at all. I want to feed that matriarchal beauty, art, you know. But
absolutely.
Yeah, very controversial.
No, I understand where you're coming from. I had a discussion with another guest just by audio. She's a doctor, and she goes a little deeper than that. I mean, she goes more into the whole sexual connotation, and she really feels like she said, it's okay for little boys to play with themselves. That's natural. Nobody makes this a fuss out of it. But little girls, if they get popped or anything, then all of a sudden they shame them. They completely destroy their whole sexuality. And what happens is you get teenage pregnancies because they don't know themselves. They don't know their own bodies and so forth, to where when someone touches them, all of a sudden they think that's love, when all it is hormones. And it's a new type of feeling that they haven't felt before, but then they think it's love. And then the only thing you're teaching this little girl is, her role is to have a child to ignore herself, basically. So I understand, and because I agreed with her, and I see where you're coming from. That's why I wanted you to explain it better.
Right, yeah. There's a lovely little scene where the teacher in Kama Sutra, she's talking about delicious feelings. So she's explaining to these young girls, your body is full of delicious feelings. And they went, really, Mom? Can you show us? And all she does is just caress the instep of her foot.
Yeah.
And the little girl's like, oh my goodness, wow. It's that kind of stuff. Start there and build upon that. And you're gonna give birth to a whole breed of women.
Yes.
And man. Because obviously, you know, there's boys who have this natural tendency. And they want to learn the sacred arts.
Yes.
This might be an old soul who's been through the temple many, many times before, and he just wants to pick up where he left off.
Mm-hmm.
Where's he going to learn that stuff?
From you. Oh, he's coming to your school. Go ahead, Tina. I thought Tina wanted to say something. No?
You wanted to say.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, anything else did you want to touch upon?
There is one more element.
Thank you. All right.
Ladies like us
mm-hmm.
might also find, this is a bit of a strange thing to say, but I've got to say it anyway, because it's very alive in me. The same part that's into this that we've been discussing
mm-hmm.
is also very into being with people in the same spirit as they're dying. I also feel that the sexual energy in its most dignified and most refined state can also be a facilitating presence as we start to leave this world.
Interesting.
That it can also facilitate the most graceful and comfortable transition.
Oh.
And I believe that's again another ancient knowing and memory, but maybe there's not many people doing that yet, or maybe I'm just the odd one.
No, but that sounds strangely familiar. Does it to you, Tina? I kind of strangely familiar. Yeah, that sounds strangely familiar. That's interesting, though. Yeah, it does sound strangely familiar. I wanted to damn, now I forgot. Forget it. It flew in one ear and went out the other. yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we have nothing left to say for now. For now. I would love to have you back.
We wanted you to say something right now, and we didn't get to that. So what do you want me to say?
Okay, no, I didn't want you to say anything. I just wanted to know if you had anything to add or anything.
Yeah, I completely, as far as children are concerned, I have my own baby, and I completely do not like, you know, especially with all the pedophilia and all that.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think working with children is something that I do. I work with only adult people and men and women. Who come to me and my work, death, that is a very important thing. And I think that the death transition is actually a walk into bardo, because it's not an end in any way. You start to move to another realm of consciousness. Mm. So the orgasm, if you are lucky to you know, actually experience this, yeah, it could go somewhere very profound. I completely agree with that. You know, like you said, it was something that sounded familiar to you. Mm. Yes, when your soul is leaving, if you actually manage to have a full-bodied orgasm.
Right.
That is profound. I think that interests me a lot because, I mean, death again is something that we as a culture do not talk about, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're scared of that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like normalize just like sex work, sex, death, birth, crying, hugging, smiling. I think all of these expressions of the human condition need to be embraced by us. And that is the final transcending the duality when everything you embrace, like Rekha and Kama Sutra, her energy was so all-embracive. You know, the way she dealt with the king's daughter, the way she dealt with Indrani Varma, who was the courtesan. And I think what she's saying, she's that women are now finally going to awaken to the archetype of the courtesan, the archetype of the geisha, the archetype of the woman who is not a wife. This, to me, is real. Mm. Although I have not worked as a sex worker, but I completely understand what Kiara is saying. And I understand the concept of a woman who does not belong to anyone and heals with her craft and arts and intellect and refinement and sophistication and linguistic skills and, you know, just a whole, the courtesan, I think that is an important video that I really want to do. I've been thinking about the archetype of the courtesan. I've done a lot of work on the archetype of the sacred whore, but the understanding of this refined and very cultured woman who is not only a sexual healer, but she's a soul healer.
She's muse.
She's the creator. She's a creative powerhouse. When you come in contact with her, you create. You leave her presence and you create.
You help that person create in their everyday life all that toxicity. You remove toxicity through sexuality. But before I get into that, I wanted to just touch, I remembered what I wanted to touch base on was that I based on the conversation I had with we'll call her Mistress Fudge, she likes to be called that because of her what she does that she doesn't like. Anyways, based on that and what she's Anaya's talking about working with, I think we would use the word adolescent perhaps better, because some people may not absolutely understand when people say children, especially that some people don't understand that. I mean, we were talking about adolescence, but it is just like we don't talk about sex, we don't talk about death too much, we don't talk about adolescents and their discovery and their evolution into that of adulthood and so forth. And then it's misguided and it's dirty and it's all this. And yes, we do need a school such as yours when we do run into that, because then this child won't walk around as an adult in a constant state of adolescent, because that's basically where we are in this era, in our thoughts and our feelings about sexuality. It's very adolescent, even when way into our 50s and 60s and 70s, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I can totally see your school, because I was playing it out in my head, but I was trying to make sure that the audience and understands that we are not talking about pedophilia. We are not talking about that. We are talking about engaging and have and being and for these adolescents to be surrounded by other adolescents who are who are going through their puberty and so forth, but in a healthy manner, not ashamed, not being looked down upon, and very open and accepting. Mm. I think that's what you were saying, right? That's
absolutely
okay. I just want to make sure that our audience understood what we, I needed to underline.
There is no school, if there is no honest, innocent, gracious, natural school, who's going to be the teacher? Well, it's probably going to be some kind of screen.
Exactly.
And how organic, how Shakti, how intimate is that? That's not a teacher. That's a distortion.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, let's just underscore just one more time.
I just needed to underscore that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we made the point across. Okay. All right. So you already told us go to AnayaSophia.com.
Yep.
And you also have some seminars there, or.
Yes. We got a place where
the oracle, something about the oracle.
That's right. I do something called a soul oracle, where I just sit like this with a person and I just tune into what that soul is carrying, what they could reach for, what's been placed within, you know, their service, their purpose, their gift, their talent.
Mm-hmm.
I like doing that.
I think
that.
We should speak a bit about Mary Magdalene as a closing thing, right? You did not get to Mary Magdalene.
Okay. Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you.
I feel that Mary Magdalene...
And the whole Cathar thing, the whole place that you got, and the whole Cathar prophecy and Mary Magdalene, let's have that now.
Okay. Well, she came... The story is she came here after being in the Holy Land, and that she knew not to be in Gaul, which is main France back then. She knew to head to this area, the Languedoc or Occitania, because it was separate. It was its own country, and it was a very already heretical place, a lot of free thinkers. The tectonic activity of the French Pyrenees is similar to that of the Himalaya. So there's an unusual geographic abnormality that's happening here. The same with the Himalaya. People say the veil is very, very thin here. There's a lot of elemental energy. There's a lot of dragons. There's a lot of giants. There's a lot of fairies and pixies. So you got all kinds of material coming through this very, very thin veil. So I imagine that she came and she literally picked up where she left off and started bringing that transmission. And of course, the land and the people are very fertile, very open. And so it became a second holy land, a second holy place. And Mary is now obviously on her own. Jesus, Yeshua, is not necessarily at her side. So perhaps she brings something more from the feminine perspective. Whatever she brought liberation, she brought freedom, and she brought peace. The time that she was here, this part of Europe became like a golden age. It was like an ancient Egypt, an Atlantis, a Lemuria. There was a lot of grace, a lot of that feminine way of living just exploding like wildfire in this region. Architecture, refinement, grace, dignity, it's all going off. And once she'd passed, it continued and it spread. And it was possibly one of the main, it wasn't a religion, they never called it a religion, a way of life of Europe.
and way of life. I like that.
Yeah. But it was like beautiful. It was based on beauty, love, unconditional loving, purity, simplicity, easiness.
Okay. Can you define purity for us?
Humility. So a humble life, not wanting more than your share, not no jealousy that someone's got more than me, and you know that hunger from the outside world, more, bigger, brighter, faster. You know, that wasn't there. Just a generosity of spirit, a feeling of prosperity with what you had. Mm. That's what I mean by purity.
Okay.
Mind is pure, you know, there's no going on in the mind.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yes, so that was Mary's legacy. And
I wanted to ask you something, someone else. They were talking about the serpent culture or the serpent worship.
Don't know much about that.
Oh, okay, because they were saying something about Mary Magdalene, that she may have had something to do with the serpent.
Right, well, yeah, there's a lot of sculptures of...
The serpent is the Kundalini.
Yeah. No, I mean, not in a bad way. I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm just saying that I just wanted to know if you had...
Yeah, the serpent is the Kundalini, and Mary Magdalene is the secrets of the Kundalini. So the serpent is ultimately the final wisdom, the alchemy, the marriage between the masculine and the feminine inside. So I think Mary Magdalene was definitely, we have very many snake goddesses in India, goddesses associated with serpents. Yes. So, and that is all a representation of the Kundalini.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, in the Mother Mary, the Virgin Mary statues, you often see her with her foot on a snake. And the church says, yes, because she's stamping out sinfulness and wrongfulness. But I started looking at that snake. Every single snake I've seen underneath her foot is very alive, very plump, and not at all being squashed. And so my feeling is that she has the foot on the snake like you would the gas pedal of a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So she's kind of like, she's in control. She's in control of the Kundalini.
Mm-hmm.
She's certainly not squashing the snake.
Mm-mm.
She's just like, okay, a little, press it down, release it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So she's mastered the Kundalini.
There you go. That looks, mastered.
Yeah. Yeah. You tell me if you ever find a dead snake under her foot, because no. I've never seen one in Europe.
Right.
These are really happy snakes.
Yeah, and in a lot of the Roman, the Catholic or the teachings were against what they called serpent worshippers, which they may not have been serpent worshippers, because everything is depicted, the snake talking to Eve, and Eve, if I remember correctly, Eve wasn't, she wasn't all that domesticated either. She wasn't, she wasn't under Adam.
No, not at all.
Right, and the serpent speaking to her, is how would you say that? A mockery against the religion that preceded them, or the belief that preceded them?
Well, I often see the serpent as Morpheus from the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So Morpheus says to Eve, red pill, blue pill. You know, red pill, you get to know thyself.
Think it's an internal Kundalini that spoke to Eve, that do you want knowledge? Yes. And the feminine is Shakti. That's why Shiva also has a snake. So Shakti, if you take Parvati as Mary, then she on standing on top of the snake is like Kali on top of Shiva. So, you know, there is also a connection there because the Indo-European languages and Indo-European culture are very similar. They draw from the same references. So that is very interesting because Shiva has a snake that represents the Kundalini. So, you know, Mary on top of a snake is definitely someone who's mastered a Kundalini. Mm. And now she is a Bodhisattva. So I definitely think of Mary Magdalene as a Bodhisattva.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, ladies, I think that we're going to close this unless anyone has something else to say. And I am so grateful that you accepted the invitation, and perhaps you will come back when you move to your new home and so forth and tell us more about your school, the Oracle, and how things are progressing forward, you know?
Thank you so much. It's been a real honor being with you too.
No, well, it's an honor to be with you. You're wonderful.
I'm so visually attuned to see you two. It's like, wow. Sitting with queens.
Oh my goodness. Well, you're excellent. You are your most excellent, absolutely wonderful, beautiful self.
To meet you too.
Yes.
And, and I was just really nice to meet you, and hope we can meet again. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your knowledge and everything you're doing. And here's to a better, bigger, really advanced world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that you are helping bring, you know, with everyone you help, they help somebody else. It's a domino effect, you know. Once you help one person, you get on to the next one and the next one, and that's how we're gonna help change our world from where we are at now. It's time for us to have a healing within. We need to advance within, you know.
Many blessings to you too.
Many blessings. Thank
Stay
you.
Stay safe, Kiara.
Thank you. Yeah,
you
I'll
too.
Be thinking
Stay
of safe. You.
Okay,
yeah.
Thinking of you too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Well, thank you so much, my sister. You're so wonderful. Let's do a little.
So we are meeting on the
Let's do a little commercial for this show, and then let's do a little commercial for for the upcoming one with Carol Lee. Quick, okay.
With
With Carol Lee.
What are you talking to Carol about?
And Mariko Passion. Okay, we're going to talk, like I told you just a minute ago, that you guys, I wanted to speak more on, because you do speak to sex workers and you are a tantric teacher and so forth. I wanted to bring that up. I wanted to also bring to the surface the denial of both the general public and even sex workers within sex work of the spirit and sexuality, that people think it's not there, and it is creation, and you can't take away from sexuality spirit, because everything has spirit, but especially that, because you can't say a connection between two people can't be sacred. You can't say that a connection between two strangers can't be sacred, because we are spirits in a material body to feel things. And every time we have that connection with a human being, with another person, we are doing a spiritual, we are being spiritual.
Yes. So we are going to talk about that. Okay.
Yeah. And then I wanted to talk about blood. Okay. I wanted to talk about blood and sacred blood. Menstruation, we haven't covered that, and they had sex and death, and those are the things. That's because this was Carol Lee's she asked me to do this show, so so Carol Lee has something she wants to say, and Mariko Passion, I guess she wants to have this conversation too.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So let's do this. Let's do commercial. Okay. Hi. Oh, wait. Okay. I'll do the ending later. I'll do the show. Yeah. Okay, but hold on. I didn't do the ending. Wait a minute. I didn't do the ending, but I'll do it after this. No, I'll do it after this because then Okay, so let's start now.
Okay.
Hi. Welcome to Kiara Nation. Hey, there's my friend and my sister, Tina. Tina and I have just had a wonderful, wonderful interview with Anaya Sophia, and we will be airing in September. I'll put the dates up as soon as possible. It'll be on both my podcast, Kiara Nation, on Anchor, or give us your podcast.
On my channel, my YouTube channel, which is Tina Hills. So I think we had a very productive conversation, and I think we finally, three very different women from three very different backgrounds, getting together, just talking about something like this. I think it's you're making a lot of movement with your show. And you're doing a lot of good work in trying to connect the dots between sexuality, spirituality, between the archetype of the courtesan, the sacred war. So all of this work is not in vain because, you know, like when I was growing up, I did not have any resources, nothing at all. So what you're creating is a very important resource base for people all around the world. And for that, thank you so much from all the audience and me. And may you prosper and take this podcast to the next level and get this conversation mainstream. More and more people need to listen to this, and more people need to engage with the process because, you know, it just can't be us talking about it. We need to really create something now, do something, action. So hopefully the right allies will come by and we will be able to prepare some courses, which I was honestly thinking if you and me could prepare some courses on feminine sexuality, feminine hygiene, which we could give not only to, you know, women who are well off, but women who need it, women who don't have any resources. So, you know, if we could just step out of the box and think of what we can create with this, because you're on the right track. So, and this show, I think it's going to be pretty good. One of your best show.
Oh, thank you. I hope we have more and more. Okay. Thank you, audience, for joining us. I would really appreciate if you guys would go ahead and comment, not just send me emails. I understand this is a touchy subject. I understand that perhaps because I am a sex worker that you guys don't want to be associated, but you guys do enjoy the show and secretly send me stuff. I'm not putting that down. Thank you for sending me your private emails and so forth. But I would really prefer that you come out more because you're not going to help yourselves by hiding and just hiding that you watch me. It's better when you come out because this is coming out for you. This is for you to feel more comfortable, more confident, because there is a really demeaning to your own self when you hide away from your own feelings and your own, and you don't honor your feelings. That's a sin, not to honor your feelings. I'm going to tell you something, and this is what I believe. That God, goddess, is an energy. And I say God, goddess, because one can't be created without the other. Neither is lower, neither is better. It's just what you need in order to create. Right? In order to create. And no one is truly bad, and nobody's truly perfect, and nobody's truly good. We all have, you know, our little mischievousness. You just don't need evil in the world. We don't need murdering. We don't need suffering, needless suffering. Because there, to suffering, there's joy. But needless suffering, like poverty, starvation, abuse, we don't need that in the world. And all this is created from our negligence to ourselves and that which created us. Our shaming that is creating a lot of outward war, because we're at war inside. We create it outside. Anything else, Tina?
Just let's be more holistic. Just let's be open. Let's be honest. I mean, so what if you're a sex worker? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If you choose to do something, and if you bring sincerity, and which I think you do, you bring a lot to that equation. I'm quite sure of it, although I've not booked you as a client, but I am quite sure you do. But and that's your gift. So this podcast, your one-on-one interactions, may you be blessed, may you prosper, and
I want you to prosper. Go to TinaHeals.com, please. You can also go to, I'm going to go ahead and write all this down and put it in the edit. I'm going to put it in words and get her oils, her readings, all that. They're all intact. I'm telling you, this is one lady who's genuine. And she did a reading for me as she did my chart. And it was really, really right there. But the only thing is, she said one thing. She said, do not covet other sexual experiences. I think when she read that, she's reading that I'm coveting them because I'm being paid to. Yeah, I wanted to tell you that. Yeah, but it's interesting to put that in there.
It is a very interesting energy that you have. Like I said, it's a very interesting energy that you have, and you have a lot of work to do. And you're going to go very far once you put that Jupiterian energy. Jupiter is the guru, you know. So you are, in a sense, a guru. You're, in a sense, teaching the world things. So embrace that, awaken to that, and you will create magic.
Okay, well, okay. And book your own session with TinaHeals.com, because it's really, no, she really is wonderful. She really is the real thing, and she's genuine about it. Thank you so much for being with us. And don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, follow, and live life to the fullest. We are spiritual beings in a physical body. We are not here to shun in ourselves or not experience all of life. Don't let fear be your master. Thank you.
All right,
we'll talk to the 12th, the 11th. I'll see you the 11th. I'll see you the 11th.
All right, then.
Okay.
The 11th?
No, aren't we on Friday at 10 p.m.? I'm at 10 p.m. my time? Aren't we on at 10 p.m. my time?
Yes, 10:30 my time. 10:30 my time, on the 12th.
On the
a.m.
Wait a minute, no. On the 12th?
12th.
Are you sure about that?
I checked your Zoom meeting, that's what it said.
Okay, let me go back.
For you, it could be, I don't know, a day earlier.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're September 12th, 10 a.m., right? 10:30? Okay, and it's 10 p.m. I'm 10 p.m. And 7 p.m. Hawaii. Okay, all right. Okay, I got it. Because, yeah, I was like, because the 12th, I have another interview. So I was just like, oh, I can't do that. Okay. Yeah. Okay, got it. It's your 12. Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay, All right, sweetie.
Take care.
You too. Mwah. Say bye, mommy.
After the show with bye, auntie. Bye, auntie. After the show that we do next, we are going to go do your tarot reading. And after the tarot reading, we'll book the show for my channel, which you will record because I don't have Zoom recording. So you're going to record it for me. It'll be the astrology of BDSM, and BDSM is a healing tool.
Okay. Do you have a script you're going to have me follow? No? Okay.
Just random talk. Okay. All right? Just random talk. Okay. And if things go well with this, I think you and me should do something with as regards to a show on BDSM, like once a week or something.
Okay. That sounds like a win.
For which we can raise money.
Okay.
Like, you know, talk to submissive men and really guide them.
Okay.
I'm thinking of making that move now. I think I'm ready for it.
Okay. Good.
All right?
Yes.
So let's just do tarot show first.
Okay.
Then you do your tarot reading.
Okay.
And then after the tarot reading, we'll talk a bit about the show.
Okay.
And then we'll do that show. And then over there, we will plan and how things go with the show. And we are going to start maybe once in 2 weeks a show. Once a month will be too less. We need to do once in 2 weeks. So we do two shows a month where we can even go live, where we talk to submissive men.
Yeah, live would be fun. Wait a minute, will we dress up? Because I love dressing up as a dog with my little leather.
Yes. Yes. And we should get some, and we should get sponsorship for that. I don't know. We have to try to raise money for that.
Okay, no, there's no free. No, well, there's no free sessions. Sorry. Yeah, well, they can talk to us, but if we can also go on and do a little thing on Skype or whatever, where we're both. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So we can do double sessions together, and we can juice these pigs.
Okay. All right, that sounds like a yes. All right, so see you later.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. I gotta get up and do this. Again, thank you for joining Kiara Nation. This is my mom. No, okay. Bye.